Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your hosts on the weekend edition, also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. On this weekend show, we're going to start off focusing a bit more on the resource sector, as we are going to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Then on the back end, we're switching our focus again over to the energy sector. So broadly, focus on resources, but initially focus a bit more on the mining market and then over to energy. Now, Matt, we always enjoy having you on because you provide kind of that outside perspective on the market. Being a fund manager, you are looking for good investment opportunities, but you're also not looking for short-term trades. You're looking for what we have learned, more kind of stable investments. You want to ride along with companies that are doing the right work and that are increasing their overall value for shareholders. You're about to head off to the PDAC this week in Toronto. It's, I believe, the largest mining conference in the world, at least in North America. Let's talk about the junior mining market then, because that's where you focus a lot within your fund. And quite frankly, the junior mining market, for as good as, let's say, the underlying commodities have done, or as stable as they have been price-wise, the juniors, they continue to get hit. You can pull up a wide range of charts on juniors, and they're just not looking that good. We continue to hear comments from junior companies still complaining about their share price. Matt, please give us your general assessment of the current state of the junior mining market right now.
It's good to be back on the program here, Corey. Thanks for having me. I'll push back against that a little bit. I mean, I do think there is a clear case of the haves and the have-nots in the sector, and there are a lot of companies trying to come to market now, and there's not financing dollars sloshing around for your average or, you know, sub-average junior. There certainly are for the highest quality stories and the highest quality management teams, but it's definitely a bit of a bifurcated field. But I would say the TSXV is up 10% through the first 60 days of the year. I mean, what more else could investors in this space want? I mean, I would say it's been a strong start to the year. Yes, things have tailed off a little bit since late January, but all things equal, I would say it's been a strong start to the junior year. And, you know, we've seen that occur in the MJG portfolio as well. You know, our latest featured investment is one example. Bravo Mining is up 60% year to date. So there are stories out there that are outperforming and have moved quite a bit in these first 60 days. You know, the real question from my perspective is whether this year will follow that playbook that we know all too well, which is, you know, New Year's optimism, starting off the year strong, starting to fade in the spring, you know, followed by a brutal summer and fall. And then a little bit of a bounce towards the end of the year after early tax loss selling takes place. You know, for 2022, for instance, even though that was an exceptional year with the Russia-Ukraine conflict and you know, a whole host of other geopolitical matters, it followed largely that same playbook. So the pattern we saw last year was pretty familiar to us junior investors. Again, the strong start in the year, and in the case of 2022, the rally through April, then misery really from May through October. And then, you know, juniors gaining strength in October, November, and December through the end of the year. So my base assumption is that this same pattern will repeat this year. So, I mean, I think that junior investors would be well advised to keep a slug of cash handy in the case that this does occur, to focus on names where the specific investor has that sufficient level of conviction to hold said position for a minimum of, say, 3 years. So really only sticking with positions that you're comfortable holding longer term. And then I also think this market environment should favor names that have defined downside, which is a bit of a foreign subject for most of your juniors, where they have small cash balances that are getting lower by the day relative to their market capitalizations. That said, there are some names out there, and two names that come to mind within the MJG portfolio. I think we've discussed both of them on previous KER calls, would be Almedex Minerals and Canorland, where in their cases, you know, cash and marketable securities are covering 60 to 80% of their current market capitalizations. So they don't have to fall all too much before they're trading at quote-unquote liquidation value. So I like opportunities in this space when you have nice defined downside, just in case this, you know, optimism in which we started the year peters out, as we often see. That said, just to conclude, there are, of course, years, and 2016 comes to mind, where things start off very hot, and they continue to stay hot through the course of the year. So in 2016, we saw junior markets rip really nonstop from January through August, September timeframe before things cooled off, you know, towards the end of the year. So I'm certainly not ruling out that scenario either, and I would love to see it personally, because even though we do have some cash, we're still quite deployed, and we would catch such a move, you know, a pretty flush. But from my experience investing in this industry, it's usually best to expect the worst and to plan accordingly for that. And if things work out better than expected, then you can be surprised to the upside. I think that's the way to play it.
Yeah, Matt, you said it. It's best to expect the worst. And that typical seasonality, we'll see if we get the proverbial PDAC curse. It may have come early this year, though, leading up to the event. But just circling back to something that Corey said in the intro about a lot of the companies complaining about their share price, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because it seems like a lot of these companies maybe blame the sentiment, or they blame the sector or retail investors or institutions, but they rarely blame themselves, as is so true in life. And a lot of times it's their options that they're paying themselves, diluting the shares, or the warrant structure creating a price overhang, or the fact that they haven't put out any news in months, or the fact that when they get the slightest bump, they go out and raise capital and dilute people down again, and it takes the wind out of everybody's sails. So how do you separate the companies, if you're going to hold them for a couple of years, that you feel are doing a good job to build value versus the ones that are really their own worst enemies?
Yeah, I think you touched on a lot of good points there, Shad. And the sector that we are in are rife with teams that are either inexperienced or improperly incentivized. And then there are, of course, your fair share of crooks out there as well. And I mean, I'll say that straight up. Investors should be very, very cautious with who they're investing in. There's over 2,000 juniors, you know, spread between North America and Australia. And everybody approaching the space needs to come in with the mindset that maybe a few hundred of them are potentially investable. So as an investor, one of the greatest strengths you can have is actually weeding out these teams early in the due diligence process, so you can really hone in your search onto higher quality names. Yeah, I mean, to your point, the one point that you touched on that stood out to me is this hamster wheel that most of these juniors find themselves on. Once you get into the mode of putting out your big news flow and then being almost out on cash, you find yourself in a very tricky situation. So many juniors will, you know, do a drill program. They'll be coming out with results. Sometimes those results are even good to quite good. If they're fantastic, then there can be aberrations in the share price. But unless you put out world-class intercepts, in market conditions such as these, if investors know that you're going to need to finance before you do any proper work, they're just not going to buy the common share straight up. So I think you see a lot of juniors in this similar position where they've actually maybe put out pretty good results, and their projects do justify more expenditures and do deserve to see that next, you know, quote unquote unanswered question answered. That said, when there's not a huge amount of money rushing into juniors and investors are behaving rationally and patiently, you know, you're not going to see that strong buying on the open market. If there's any sense from investors that said company is going to have to come back to market and finance.
So true. Hey, Matt, it really comes down to cash is king pretty much at all times, but especially in these tighter, more difficult markets for especially these juniors. Everyone, stick around. We are going to be right back with Matt Geiger talking more about the resource sector.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. We are continuing to chat with Matt Geiger, managing partner at MJG Capital. Now, Matt, as much as we talked about the junior mining market and still how it is challenging for many companies, there are these glimmers of hope, little areas, or different types of deposits that capture investors and some companies' attention. Let's talk about CRD assets, so carbonate replacement deposits. There's a lot more action happening in Nevada. I-80 Gold just took over Paycor. That's a company, Paycor, being a company that you mentioned, I believe, last time you were on the show, and how you saw a synergy within Nevada and this trend towards CRD assets. Matt, first, your comments on that I-80 Gold acquisition of Paycor, then we can get a little bit more into these CRD assets.
Yeah, that's definitely been the latest shoe to drop in kind of this nascent CRD in Nevada trend that we're seeing. I mean, just a few years ago, it'd be hard pressed to find a single junior that was, you know, advertising that they're looking for CRDs in Nevada. I think that's going to change, and I think the success of I-80's exploration programs at Ruby Hill have justified that. Ruby Hill is a fantastic discovery. I don't know if I would quite call it world class, but I mean, it has the potential to be. Those are some absolutely wicked intercepts. And I'm quite confident it will become a mine later this decade. I think that the fact that it's a brownfield site is also quite helpful. There's the Archimedes pit, you know, right nearby the CRD mineralization that they're drilling. So I've already seen enough that I think this will make it into production. It's just a question of how big it is at this point. Paycor is right next door with their FAD property, just to the south of Ruby Hill, and on trend or seemingly on trend with the CRD mineralization. You know, Paycor themselves confirmed that it was on trend by drilling some pretty nice intercepts themselves. Maybe not quite up to the Ruby Hill standards, but close. So I think this tie-up makes a lot of sense from the I-80 perspective. I'm excited to see that. I mean, it's definitely indirect positive news to the, you know, handful of juniors. You know, now that Paycor's out of the picture, the handful of other juniors that are focused on CRDs in Nevada, you know, two to come to mind that are just in the Eureka District, you know, right nearby Paycor and of course I-80 are Timberline and Golden Lake. So they're earlier stage, you know, micro cap companies, but they're focused on CRDs, you know, in the same district that we've seen this M&A activity. You know, looking further afield in Nevada, There is, of course, Ridgeline, which you brought up, and a Peter McGaugh-backed company called Reyna Silver that are active on CRD deposits elsewhere in Nevada. I am biased on Ridgeline as we do own shares, and I'm very confident in the team there and what they're working on. But personally, I like how Ridgeline really has two kicks at the CRD can, so to speak. One, of course, is at their Salina project, where they'll be coming out with additional drill results here pretty shortly, I'd imagine. And that's the project that the market's following most closely. But then also a bit under the radar in the past 6 weeks or so, they announced that they'd staked a project called Big Blue, which is actually contiguous to Reyna Silver's Medicine Springs project. And Big Blue has both CRD and skarn and potentially porphyry potential. But success at Reyna Silver would be good news for Ridgeline due to its Big Blue project. And conversely, success at Big Blue, even though I don't think Ridgeline is going to be drilling that in the you know, near future, would be good for Reyna Silver. So Ridgeline itself has its feet in a couple buckets there, which I find interesting. Just quickly for folks that are non-geologically inclined, and the geologists listening to this will roll their eyes, but I think it'd be helpful to just revisit these systems and how they sometimes conform. So CRDs are come from a porphyritic intrusion at depth. So obviously if a porphyry comes to surface, there's not going to be associated mineralization with it. But oftentimes you'll see a porphyry at depth, you'll see a skarn mineralization that's proximal to said porphyry. Then it can transition into its CRD zone or the CRD horizon. And then if the system's fully intact, you'll go all the way to surface and you can see epithermal, you know, or oxidized gold and silver mineralization at surface. And so it's interesting, you know, these aren't standalone deposits. They're associated with porphyries. And interestingly for CRDs, it doesn't need to be an economic porphyry for one reason or another, you know, for there to be a world-class CRD deposit. One example would be Taylor down in Arizona, currently or formerly Arizona Mining, now in the hands of South 32. There is a porphyry there, just not of particular interest. So they're focusing more on the skarn and the CRD mineralization. So for those that have been following the Ridgeline story, just to double back, that kind of helps put some context on why in the valley we're seeing Freeport in a joint venture earning into a deep lying porphyry target. And then Ridgeline has the part of the system that's closer to surface or higher up in the system, so to speak. That's why they're seeing CRD potential and then also seeing their gold and silver at surface. So I thought that'd be helpful context for some of the folks listening in that are trying to wrap their heads around CRD deposits and how they fit in geologically.
Yeah, thanks for going there, Matt. But let's also take it a step further. Because there is such a mix of metals here, gold, silver, lead, zinc, how do you go about analyzing these sort of just even initial drill results? Because you can get higher grades of one metal over the other. It can vary within the deposit. How do you analyze the value of certain holes?
Ultimately, I think it comes down to rock value in this industry. Folks get too carried away by whether, you know, it's a gold intercept or whether it's a zinc intercept, you know, or whether it's a lithium intercept. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to rock value. How valuable is this rock at current spot prices? So that's how I think about it generally. Now, if you do have a polymetallic deposit, you do have to be careful because there are going to be recovery challenges. So I'm generally okay with, at least for CRD systems, for companies to use silver equivalent, at least assuming that they're focused on the primary metals, zinc, lead, you know, silver, gold, maybe copper if it's thrown in there. I'm okay with that as long as there aren't any, you know, niche metals that are thrown in there that are spiking the values. But when investors look at that figure, they have to assume that there's going to be varying recoveries for the different metals that are included in that silver equivalent or that zinc equivalent number and discount accordingly. So keep that in mind. And that makes it that much more important for the bar to be exceeded with drill results. So in some cases, and I would say Ruby Hill is one of them, the grades are so high in these intercepts and the widths are quite amenable to underground mining that really, regardless of metallurgy, and again, maybe I'm stepping out on a branch there, metallurgy is a key, it will be a key risk, as it is with any polymetallic deposit, but the grades we're seeing there are so obscene that I think there's a healthy cushion that's built in.
All right, Matt, we are out of time for this segment, but you know what? We're going to keep this going. So for everybody that wants to listen to that full interview, please visit our website, kereport.com. Listen to the full interview on that weekend show posting. Everyone stick around. We are going to be right back to focus on the energy sector.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Cortland Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. And there's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
U.S.
USA News Update. A storm system sweeping across the country has killed at least 10 people in multiple states. More torrential rain, tornadoes, heavy snow expected throughout the country today. Childhood obesity is on the rise.
A new report from the World Obesity Federation also notes a concerning rise in childhood obesity rates. Based on current trends, childhood obesity could double from 2020 levels. Obesity can lead to numerous health issues. They include high blood pressure, coronary heart disease, stroke, diabetes, breathing problems, and clinical depression. I'm Dave Collins.
A bipartisan House Select Committee on China telling American businesses to return production to the U.S. Committee member and California Democrat Ro Khanna spoke after the committee met Tuesday for the first time to examine threats posed by the Chinese government. Corey Myers, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Now, in the last couple segments of this weekend show, as we've been doing much more regularly, we are going to focus more on the energy sector, mostly the oil and natural gas sectors and companies. We are chatting with Dan Steffens, president of the Energy Perspectives Group. Now, Dan, let's start with natural gas, because quite frankly, natural gas has been on a roller coaster, and more recently on the downward side of a roller coaster. Natural gas prices peaked around $10 in August, then dropped the whole way down to $2.11 in February. So in 5 months, that is a massive drop for natural gas. Let's just start off there. High level, Dan, why did natural gas go through the crash recently?
Well, it actually peaked last summer because the LNG exporters and the utility companies, the guys that, you know, generate electricity or bring gas to your house for space heating, they got into a bidding war over supply. And the profit margin on LNG was so massive, LNG being shipped to Europe was going $50, $60, Europe and Asia. And, you know, they were willing to pay whatever. And so they got it up to about 10 bucks last summer. Now, we might have a repeat of that this summer. I don't think it'll be quite that drastic, but it wouldn't surprise me if we get, $30 LNG prices over in Europe again. But then when that calmed down a little bit, utilities were able to fill their stores before winter arrived, the price started drifting lower. And then what happened over January and February as far as the gas price dropping, that happened, in my opinion, because we had the last 2 weeks of December were very cold, and we had two big, massive, over 200 BCF draws from storage. They were the two largest draws from storage in the month of December. I went back like 15 years ago, and I could not find two back-to-back weekly 2 BCF draws. And when that happened, so intuitively then, the hedge fund managers and people that just wanted to buy some futures contracts, they went out, and I believe they loaded up on the February and March NYMEX futures contract. So they went long on those contracts. Well, then we have the first 3 weeks of January, the mildest 3 weeks winter period we've ever had in the eastern United States. We had draws from stores that weren't even half as large as the 5-year average draws. And then by the time we got to the end of January, you had storage above the 5-year average, and the utility companies then pulled out of the futures market. They believe they have enough gas in storage to make it through the winter, so they don't want to put any more gas in storage because they don't want to pay those storage fees. So, you know, if you're long on a NYMEX contract, when it expires, you have to take physical delivery of that gas. And so they didn't want to do that and stick more gas in storage because they thought they had enough. And so what happened is I call them the paper traders, the hedge funds, and just people that on a hunch bought those futures thinking that the price would go up to 10 or 12. And I had forecast of $10, $12, $15 gas around Christmas. But then, you know, it went the other way, and they got stuck with these long contracts. So they had to keep cutting the price of their contracts to get somebody to buy them. And that's what took gas all the way down. I think briefly it dipped below $2 for midday last Wednesday or something. And then on Thursday and Friday of last week, when the March contract went off and the April contract futures contract became the front month, buyers and sellers were then in balance again, and it's already bounced back to like 270, 275 already just in a week. So it went from $2 to 275 just in a week. And my prediction is gas is going to drift higher, and the utility companies will come back into the futures market this summer because they will have to refill storage. Refilling storage by the utility companies is not an option. They must have enough gas in storage to make it through the winter. And if they don't, they are subject to severe fines, actually, you know, legal action against them if they do not have enough gas in storage. And the last thing they want to do is run out of gas like they did in California. California spot prices have stayed over $10. I think there was 50 or 60 days in a row their spot prices on the West Coast were over $10 because they ran out of gas with all that cold weather they got, and they're still getting, I think, as these winter storms keep rolling through. So we have a very interesting situation in gas, and if you think oil prices are volatile, multiply that volatility by 3 or 4 times, and that's what the a chart of gas prices looks like. So it can go either way, and we're not going to have gas just settle into some price like $3 and stay there. I think as we get through into summer, I think we get back to $4.
Yeah, Dan, good point. A lot of people extrapolate out recent history with recency bias to the future, and that gas is one of those sectors that you don't want to do that because it is incredibly volatile. It's definitely a roller coaster. And if you're looking for higher prices later in the year, we were talking off mic, I think it's an interesting point on that gas that everybody focuses on the winter weather. But often we see big moves in that gas in the summer for what you just covered, restocking their supply, the utility companies, but also there's a whole theme that's been growing for a long time and continues to do so in nat gas on power generation. A lot of coal plants flipping to nat gas plants. And in the summertime, everybody's running those AC units. There's huge power bills in the summer, and most people don't think about a lot of that power is going to be generated with nat gas. Couldn't that be a driver as we head into the summer and towards the even in the fall as people bump up their energy usage?
Yeah, and also down here in Texas and, you know, all through the U.S., there's a lot of power plants that they can either burn natural gas or coal. They can switch. And so when you get gas prices, so low gas prices kind of take care of themselves, because then the utilities start shutting down they don't shut down the coal plants. They just switch the fuel from coal to gas. And they use a lot of gas. You know, a gas-fired power plant burns a lot of gas. And so they can get rid of this imbalance. But people look at the weekly storage report and they say, oh, the storage is 2 billion cubic feet, you know, above where it should be this time of year. That is nothing. That is a gnat in the size of this market. I mean, during the winter, we have 200 and 300 BCF draws from storage in a week. I mean, so, you know, that's not that much storage. And it looks like right now, I just looked at the 10-day forecast for Texas. We're going to have some cold weather down here, and we're going to be consuming a lot of gas. And Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, everybody heats their homes with gas. So that's going to happen. And I think we'll get to the end of March, and I think storage will be maybe it's going to be 200 BCF over, but so what? It's still going to be within the five-year range, and we still got to get back to 4 trillion cubic feet in storage before the next winter arrives. And I believe you need to make the argument, or I've heard Raymond James has made this argument also in my discussions with them, that we need a lot more gas in storage because of these LNG exporters need to have supply. And a lot of that gas is stored in caverns and stuff, you know, down here along the Gulf Coast. And if the LNG exporters are going to keep maximizing their capacity, then we're going to need more and more gas. But I think when you look out past a year and a half, 2 years from now, we're going to have a big ramp up in additional LNG export capacity, where now it's about 14 billion cubic feet a day. It's going to go to about 22 BCF a day of export capacity. We're building more pipelines into Mexico. It's taking our West Texas gas. And just over the next 2 or 3 years, demand for gas for export plus what we use is going to go up a lot faster than demand, than supply growth, I believe. And you're going to get a crunch. And I think in 2 or 3 years, we're going to be looking at maybe $5, $6, $7 being the base price for gas from now on.
Really sounds like this market is just continuing to grow. And Dan, with some of your forecasts, sounds like it will continue to grow. I know in Vancouver, boy, oh boy, the government keeps on putting in new policies for new home builds, all kinds of things that include natural gas. So a market that is interesting, but man, oh man, it's been volatile. Big roller coaster ride recently. We're out of time for this segment, Dan, but we're bringing you back on next segment. We'll get into some of the natural gas stocks and then also talk a little bit more about the oil sector. So everybody, stick around. We are going to be right back with Dan Steffen, president of the Energy Perspective.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you have an IRA or 401k, please listen closely. My name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. Throughout my career, let's just say I've been in some hairy situations. And I believe right now the biggest threat facing Americans is they need to protect their wealth, which is exactly what I'm doing for my wife and 6 kids. And I believe the ultimate safe haven is physical gold and silver. You can protect your hard-earned retirement assets with a tax-free loophole that allows you to convert your retirement into physical gold and silver. The folks I use are Advantage Gold, and believe me, I've investigated the heck out of all types of people. Advantage Gold is the nation's highest rated gold company. They have the best process, pricing, and service. If you want to get your free gold and silver investment kit, please contact Advantage Gold right now, and you'll see how easy it is to protect yourself with precious metals. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
All right, welcome back. We are wrapping up the weekend edition of the KE Report, continuing to chat with Dan Steffen, president of the Energy Prospectus Group. Now, Dan, let's get into some of the natural gas stocks. We talked about the market last segment. Let's talk about the stocks this segment for investors that maybe want to get positioned, think that natural gas has bottomed. What stocks do you like out there?
Well, yeah, we have some of the, you know, the revenues, a high percentage come from natural gas. The purest one is Comstock Resources. About 99% of their production is dry gas from the Haynesville. But they're down there in Louisiana, and they're close to the Gulf Coast. And when this LNG export capacity ramps up, they're going to have the most exposure to that. And the company has used its tremendous cash flow from 2022. They've paid off a lot of debt. Their balance sheet is in great shape. They've started to pay a little dividend, but they have massive, massive reserves down in the Haynesville. But I'm personally putting more of my own money into companies that pay really good dividends. And some of these bigger, large cap independent companies like EOG Resources, Pioneer, Diamondback, they get a lot of their revenues from oil, but they also produce a lot of gas. They have a lot of gas reserves, and they don't hedge much of their gas. So if you believe gas prices are going to go up, because see, they're primarily oil companies and they drill oil wells, but those wells also produce a lot of gas, rich gas. So if you do have a spike in gas prices, they're going to get a big boom from that. And I think in the near term, it's a safer bet that oil prices are going to drift up than I think gas prices. And in the near term, I'm saying in the next, you know, 6 months or something. But I think by the time we get next winter, prices will be $4 or something. But we'll see. In that group of companies that really pay big dividends, we have a model portfolio called the High Yield Income Portfolio. The average dividend yield in that of the 13 companies on that portfolio is 8.3% as of last Friday's close. And Coterra is the most heavily weighted to gas, but I like Coterra at CTRA, Devon Energy DVN, I really like Diamondback. Its symbol is FANG, F-A-N-G. The biggest one is EOG Resources, symbol EOG, pays about an 8% dividend. Then PDC Energy, they're out in the DJ Basin. That's Colorado and Wyoming. Boy, that company looks really good. It's got, pays a fixed plus variable dividend. Now it's about 6.4%, but it's got a lot of growth potential as well. And then Pioneer is PXD.
Okay. Dan, thanks for sharing all of those stocks in the natural gas sector and some nice dividends, right? Hopefully the share prices can move up along with the market when it does rebound. Let's move over to oil then. If you think the trend for oil, at least in the short term, could be a bit higher at least, well, the trend for oil recently has been mostly sideways. From November, December, topping out around $80, moving down to about $70. Pretty tight range that we have seen here. When do you think we might break out of this range? Why do you think it's going to be higher?
Well, the first quarter is the lowest point of the year for global demand for crude oil. It always is. Demand for crude oil is seasonal. And the reason it's seasonal is because 90% of humans live in the northern hemisphere. And we just consume less transportation fuel in the winter. But once we get to about May, transportation fuel demand really spikes up. So it's, you know, gasoline demand, diesel demand is what drives the oil price more than anything else. So you got, there's a lot of diesel consumed in farming. Farming equipment to plant the crops and stuff we eat, they consume a lot of diesel. It takes a lot of diesel to run drilling rigs. But we have a diesel shortage. Our diesel inventory in the U.S. is 10% below where it should be, and that doesn't get as much attention as it really needs to get. And everything I see points to demand for oil globally exceeding supply in 6 months, by the third quarter. By the third quarter of this year, we're going to be draining above-ground inventories of refined products faster than they can be restored, and that's going to draw some attention. And I mean Goldman Sachs, Raymond James, Morgan Stanley. I get all these price forecasts for oil, and I think the lowest price forecast for oil is $90 U.S. For WTI, and some of them are saying $110 by the end of this year. If that happens, you're going to get a lot of these companies going to be really, really good shape because, for one thing, in 2022, a lot of them had hedged a lot of their gas, their oil and gas prices, but now they either have a lot of unhedged production or they started, instead of using swaps, they use collars. So collars have a floor price and a ceiling price. So they put in a floor price to protect their downside. So they make the floor, like, what's the minimum price they can still survive? So maybe that's, you know, $70 or something. So they put a $70 floor and they keep a $100 ceiling on that. So they get the upside, but they have the protection on the downside. And I really like companies that hedge with collars. And that's one of the things we focus on. And I like some of these smaller kind of companies that are, don't get the attention they should. I really like Earthstone Energy. They're going to report earnings on March the 8th. They're going to report a significant increase in their production from third quarter to the fourth quarter. They're now up to 104,000 barrels a day, BOE per day. And the stock's only $13-$14. And my valuation is over 30. So I think it looks like a double for us. One company that, you know, your guys up there in Canada should like, Ovintiv, and they have a lot of gas production also, but Ovintiv looks really good to me. That used to be in Canada. That symbol is OVV. And then there's a company, it's not a new company, it's a new name. It was created by a merger of Colgate, a private company merged into Centennial. And then Centennial was public, and they immediately changed the name of it to Permian Resources. And that symbol is PR for Permian Resources. And it's a pretty decent sized company, about 150,000 BOE per day of production. They reported outstanding fourth quarter results, and their guidance for this year is about another 10 or 15% production growth. They're completing some outstanding wells in the western half of the Permian Basin. It's called the Delaware Basin. The Delaware Basin is a sub-basin of the Permian, and it extends into New Mexico. And they're reporting some of these 4,000 and 5,000 barrel a day wells coming online in New Mexico. And that one really, really looks good to me.
Well, Dan, I appreciate you sharing some of those more oily names in the space that you see some good growth potential, good revenues. But let's just say that you were a new investor coming into the sector in oil and gas, and you didn't have any positions yet, and you wanted to construct a portfolio. You have a couple different baskets that you follow, like the high yield stocks you mentioned. I know you have your Sweet 16. You've got the, you know, the small cap growth. What percentage would you allocate to each bucket if you were going to build a portfolio for maybe people that want to get exposure to the space now while there's been this pullback?
Yeah, in our Sweet 16, I get that question all the time. It's like, if I could only buy three stocks, what would you buy? Well, who knows? I would like to have some of all of them because, you know, one of them might be taken over and, you know, for a 50% spike in price or something. But, and right now, a lot of these are trading as if they're screaming takeover targets, really. But, you know, within our Sweet 16, I've identified some of the larger, safer companies. So if people want to, you know, get in, but feel like they're not having that much risk, I would go with some of the large cap companies. You know, size does matter in this industry. You know, their cost of capital is lower as they get higher in a bigger reserve base and, you know, more and more proven reserves. The bankers are wanting to loan them money at lower interest rates. They do have access to capital markets. But now the one thing that I'm really looking for this year is I only want to own companies that are totally, they don't need to sell stock. They don't need to borrow any money. They can fund their growth completely with operating cash flow. And so I want companies that they announce, you know, a CapEx budget, a drilling budget of $500 million. I want to know that they have $700 or $800 million dollars of operating cash flow. Even if oil would stay at 70 for the whole year or something, they'll still generate enough operating cash flow. They won't have to go to the bank and, you know, beg for more money. So that's what I'm looking at.
All right, Dan, we're wrapping up this weekend show. Man, I enjoy chatting with you, and I love your knowledge on the oil and natural gas sector and all the stocks that you cover. Also, how you allocate those stocks into different portfolios for all your subscribers to hone in on the types of stocks they are looking for. We greatly appreciate your comments. So, Dan, I'm sure we'll be chatting next month talking about some of the moves in the energy sector. If anybody wants more information on the Energy Perspectives Group, feel free to email Shad or I. And that goes along with any of your thoughts on the markets. Shad and I love hearing from each and every one of you. So, everyone, please keep the emails coming. Keep coming back to our website and podcast. We're going to keep you up to date on what seems like a kind of choppy market, but definitely opportunities still to be had. So, Dan, thank you again for your time. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks a lot.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with. Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.